independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
What's up, party people? Happy Friday. Of course, it's not just a regular Friday, St. Patty's Day. It wouldn't be a St. Patty's Day without having an Irish person in here. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is joining us. Hello there, Kay. How you doing there, my friend?
Doing fine. Erin go bra today.
Yes, very much. Like, look at you there. And it's wearing green as well. I prefer Erin without the bra as well. Jim Kennedy joins us always. We talk politics, and he is the foremost of the person that we talk politics with because he brings a very conservative perspective to things, and I want to break things down when it comes to Trump. Okay, first and foremost, this wiretapping thing is absolutely ridiculous, and I don't believe that he was wiretapped, and that's just me. I think the people are pointing out there within the intelligence community, they can find nothing, but it's still not stopping him.
No, it's not, and the liberals are not going to let it die because they love to live and breathe off of every word that Donald Trump says, regardless of the veracity of each word that he says. But yeah, I don't believe that he was probably wiretapped. He might have been, but they haven't been able to present any evidence. I think they're going to start the congressional hearings next week to look into it, and we'll find out. But the evidence or the idea of presenting to the public that the British were behind it certainly didn't fly very well.
No.
And it got a quick retort from Sean Spicer.
But then they came out today and said, no, we don't take anything back. So Spicer said yes, and the White House said no.
It's a firm possibility of a definite maybe, I think.
Yeah. And the whole, like, and I guess he was on Tucker Carlson, and listen to this, and you described this, and listen to this, people. I think it sums up Trump in a nutshell when it comes to his vagueness in certain situations.
I've been reading about things. I read in, I think it was January 20th, a New York Times article where they were talking about wiretapping. There was an article. I think they used that exact term. I read other things. I watched your friend Brett Baer the day previous where he was talking about certain very complex sets of things happening and wiretapping. I said, wait a minute, there's a lot of wiretapping being talked about. I've been seeing a lot of things. Now, for the most part, I'm not going to discuss it because we have it before the committee and we will be submitting things before the committee very soon. That hasn't been submitted as of yet.
And he does the quotes, wiretapping. You know, wiretapping. Now, when he says wiretapping, doesn't mean wiretapping, it means wiretapping. What?
Hey, he's Trumpian. He's not a politician. He's not an ideologue. He believes in all things Trump, and that's you know, you can't take Trump literally. Everything is kind of figurative. It's kind of vague. It's kind of out there. Okay, but his supporters love him, and regardless of what the man says, he cannot. They are not shaken from their belief in Donald Trump.
No, and I have no problem with that. I have zero problem with that. In fact, the poll question is, should he apologize? Because I think at some point in time, what you start to do, though, is the good work you do get overshadowed by the antics that you produce.
No, absolutely. He creates a lot of static out there. And, you know, it's a question, the point you brought up earlier, and you brought up for a couple of days now, is really, though, in the average person's life, what does this really have an impact on? It doesn't affect what their paycheck is. Doesn't affect if they can afford to go to get their doctor, you know, get their kids taken care of. It doesn't affect if they're going to get their kids to soccer on time. It really has no meaning in everyone's life other than those that are really in the bubble or within the beltway that want to fixate on this. So outside of that, it really doesn't matter to the average American's life.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research as we talk about all things politics, we move from there to we're going to tackle this, and we'll get to health care in a little bit, but first we're going to tackle the budget. And the budget, in the end, to me, a little bit of a... Look, I understand. I love the fact that he's cutting back on stuff, getting rid of some programs, but you recognize that this does nothing to make a dent in the debt. And that's really what I think a lot of people want to see, is they want to see this debt go from 20 million down to 16 million, down to 8 million, a trillion. They want to see this thing start to fall. This does nothing for that.
No, it doesn't. And in fact, with, you know, you can question whether the economy is in a state where you could actually start pulling money out through a surplus where it wouldn't affect the economy. Because when you take the money out with the surplus, you're basically draining it out and you need excess, you need other sources to provide to keep the economy stable. And I don't know if there's enough activity in the economy right now that you could do that. But the budget isn't prepared or set up to basically draw a surplus out. Anyway, and there is, we've got such a problem economically with this budget and with the fact that, you know, in 3 to 5 years, we're going to be looking with some economic growth as interest rates keep going up. That means an extra $100 billion a year in what we're going to be paying on the debt. Plus, we're adding to the debt as it is. We're going to be looking in 5 years, another $500 billion in interest payments if we have a robust economy. We don't have that floating around. Chad, you have an extra $500 billion in your back pocket?
I don't.
I don't think Phil does either. So I don't know where we're going to come up with this money in this country to pay this extra money on the interest payment. It's going to start having to come out of entitlement programs because it has to be paid and it's not an option. We can't keep rolling it over because we got to keep writing a check off for it.
You said something right there, and I've said it too. The entitlement programs. It's the biggie. The one thing that if you're a politician, there's a few things if you're a politician you don't do. You can't be soft on crime, even if you're a Democrat, and you cannot touch an entitlement program because you are that you're a one term or that is your last term. And we have to look at reorganizing and revamping these things to streamline them and to find out where we can find some savings and modernize them. Otherwise, this thing is going to get so far away from us, they're going to eventually repossess us.
No, basically, the Chinese and the Japanese are going to repossess us, who are holders of more of our debt than anybody else. And it's interesting, too, because if you look at the budget, the largest single line item is national defense, and Trump's throwing more money at national defense. Now, I understand the reasoning, and most conservatives are going to endorse that, but it's going to become a problem. We may not be able to be, in 5 to 10 years, the world's policeman. We may not be able to afford $600 billion a year in national defense spending. We may have to cut some of that back simply because we do not have the money to spend on it.
I've said, look, I am all for completely modernizing our military, maybe even cutting back on some of the military in itself, because we could modernize it, we could streamline it, we could make it more efficient, and we could save some money there. But even if we were to cut some money from there, there are still some other things. We've got welfare, we've got Social Security, which is a broken system. You look at Medicare and Medicaid. Yesterday we were talking Leslie Page, who is from Taxpayers for Waste. 28% of all Medicare payments, that's where all the fraud comes from, is from there. We've got to do a better job of sussing out all of this stuff and making it streamlined and better than it is now, because we cannot afford this in the long term.
Yeah, I don't know if everyone remembers, but back in the, I think it was the late 80s, there was the Grace Commission. That was an efficiency commission that was put out there by Peter Grace, who was a large industrialist at the time. And he was, I think it was Reagan or Bush, HW, had his commission put together. They had a bunch of ideas. And there were actually some pretty good ideas. But of course, they were not politicians. So when the report was delivered, it was taken and filed in some secretary's drawer and said, thank you very much, and nothing really ever came out of it. Maybe Trump needs to do another Grace Commission, but actually maybe implement some of these ideas that come out of it for ways to save money. Medicaid is full of fraud. You're absolutely right there. The problem with the military spending, though, is I don't really know how you do it, because you're facing a strengthening Chinese military and a larger and larger threat for them as they try to expand their presence throughout Southeast Asia and the world.
The one thing about us, though, and I think we often forget it, is we are so far ahead of everybody militarily. We spend so much more money than they do. Just because you may have more manpower doesn't mean that we don't have things that are still 10 years, 20 years ahead of where you are. And I think it's more about modernization and getting robots to fight our wars than anything else. But we've got to do something. And everybody is going to have to tighten their belts and sacrifice if we're going to get ourselves out of this mess. Because if we can get, like human beings, if we can get ourselves out of debt, we're going to be in a much better position than if we are continually paying off eventually $500 billion a year just in interest, which, by the way, is a new entitlement that we have to pay. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. We're going to tackle health care. Who is it that is pushing the health care? Is it Ryan? Is it Trump? We'll do it straight ahead. Jim Kennedy is with me in studio from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Feeling confused? No worries. That's why he's here. This is the Chad Benson Show, setting things straight.
It's all coming together. We're going to have great health care. It's going to be passed, I believe, I think, substantially and pretty quickly. It's coming together beautifully.
Trump right there, substantially, pretty quickly, bigly. Healthcare is going to go through. Jim Kennedy's in studio from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. All right, so I call it Ryan Care. I don't call it Trump Care. I call it Ryan Care. And you could, it's dead. It has no chance. As it stands right now, he doesn't have enough votes to get this thing anywhere.
DOA, dead on arrival. Pretty much not going to happen. It's not, the conservatives don't like it. The moderates don't like it, and the Democrats hate it. So, yeah, I don't know where he's going to get his votes other than maybe him and five other Republicans he could buy off.
Well, the Democrats hate anything because there's a repeal going on, even if they're going to replace it with something that is a good that looks very similar. It's the fact that they're repealing that. But this thing, you know, their whole this week I found this to be interesting. The way that they're pitching this whole thing is, look, it is risen up 116% in like Arizona. You've seen the big gains this year, but that was already factored in. And now what you're going to see is it's no longer going to be that. And eventually it's going to you're not going to see these massive jumps anymore. I don't buy any of that stuff. But the CBO wasn't very kind, and the CBO does miss. But even if it misses by half, this thing does nothing. It doesn't. And it gives the optics that the conservatives don't like old people, and they don't like the poor.
Well, old people, they remember, are covered mostly by Medicare.
Yeah.
So it's the not quite yet old enough people are the ones. But yeah, you are correct on that aspect. And the basic talking point that all the Democrats are going to walk away with and put out on the Sunday programs is going to be the 25 million that are going to lose coverage. And that's basically where the only number they're going to want to hear and the only point they're going to want to talk about. This is a very, very complex question. And part of that is evidenced by lots of things. One of them being is the Republicans for 7 years since Obamacare has passed and had the opportunity to draft, you know, in the shadows their own bill for the day that we can present it. And they did not have anything sitting there waiting. They had to slap something together at the last minute to basically put together for a bill for the Ryan Care. And the Affordable Care Act does not make health care affordable. It makes insurance affordable. Health care in and of itself is a whole different problem. And we don't bring competitive markets to health care in general, whether it is selling insurance across state lines or saying making hospitals provide price lists. Because as you well know, if you go in there and say, hi, I don't have insurance, but I got $600 in cash, can I get an MRI? The answer is yes. If you walk in there and say, hi, I don't have insurance, I need an MRI, and I need to make it on payments, it's, well, either we can't do that or that's $1,700.
Yeah.
And if you come in with insurance coverage, it's probably $450 or $500. Yeah. So there's all these different prices depending on who you are. If there was a pricing mechanism that would basically make this competitive to say, okay, I know up front what it's going to cost me. I know what this procedure is. There are published prices for these things. That would help a lot to making health care affordable. And until we do that, I don't really know how we solve the problem.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research as we talk all things politics. One of the things, you know, you've pointed out the price list, and I think that's great. I look at Rand Paul and the Freedom Caucus and what they would like. I love the idea of pooling. I think pooling is fantastic. You're a single man who owns a small plumbing company, or maybe you're a woman who's got a small accounting business and you've got a couple kids. You could pool together with other people and you could make that risk far greater to spread around amongst a bunch of people, therefore bringing down the price. It's one of the things I think is great. Health savings is okay. But look, there's always going to be winners and losers. But I will have to say, Paul Ryan, what he's rolling out right now, I've said all week, it's a turd sandwich.
Yeah, no, it's not something that anybody likes. Like I said, they had to come up with something, and they found a bill, but it was just something they crafted together kind of at the last minute. And the problem with doing it in stages is no one's going to be happy with it. The problem is when anybody who, again, is like previously where they lost their coverage is not going to be happy. It is a difficult thing to take away. I wouldn't necessarily call it an entitlement, but Obamacare has become close to an entitlement. And anytime you try to take something away like that, where you're going to have to take people off of coverage or put them in a condition that is worse than they were, it's not going to fly with the American public, and that's the problem.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Moving forward, what do you see this thing doing? Because this is the one thing I think that people don't understand, and people who are Trump supporters, is while they may not be huge fans of Obamacare, they're Trump supporters because of the wall, because of getting jobs, things like that nature. This is, to me, this is a Republican problem. This isn't a Trump problem. While Trump wants to, he didn't really run on this. He talks about, I want to repeal, I want to do all these kind of things. But I look at the Republicans and say, you had 7.5 years. The only thing you guys can agree on is you don't like this. And you still couldn't put something together knowing this day was coming. I think this is more them than it is him.
Well, as far as coming up with something to replace Obamacare, yes, that is the Republicans' fault. They are the ones that are supposed to be providing the legislation. Trump provides the guidance and the ideas. They provide the specifics. He's not a guy that writes legislation. Barack Obama did not write legislation. George W. Bush did not write legislation. The Congress, and especially the House when it comes to appropriations, writes the legislation, and it is their responsibility. And like you said, what have they been doing? For 7 years, they knew hopefully this day was coming. You would have had something in your pocket, something in a drawer that was ready to go as far as overturning it. Now, Trump supporters are going to want this simply because they don't like Obamacare as a whole, just as you just say Obamacare, and they just kind of get all icky about it because it's the concept of socialized medicine. It's a government requiring you to buy something you've never had to do in your life before. All of those things are for Trump supporters don't like it. So he's kind of got that on his to-do list as far as the promises. But for the specifics, yes, it is the Republican responsibility to fill in the blanks and to fill out the bill.
We're talking to Jim Kennedy. I want you to stick around because I've got some other stuff I want to ask you about Trump and politics. Jim Kennedy's joining us here from the public, from Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. We talk all things politics on this beautiful Friday. We still have the crazy calls of the week. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text us. You can email us. I love getting text messages, 323-538-2423. We got about 15 seconds, Jim. Yesterday, we're talking about animals that are shrinking because of global warming. What animal would you have taken, if you had the chance, as a miniature?
Mountain lion.
Mountain lion. He's going mountain lion. That's a new one. A lot of whales yesterday. Winner was a rhino and a hippo, though. Kind of a tie. The Chad Benson Show.
The carriages are rolling, and others take the light in the Harley and the Poland. But I take the light in the juice of the barley, and courting pretty fair maids in the morning, bright and early, ushering them to the room now.
The Chad Benson Show.
My father, daddy, oh, there's whiskey in the jar. If anyone can aid me, tis me.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
That is me, party people. Thanks so much for making us part of your day on this beautiful Friday. Happy St. Patty's Day. Jim Kennedy's here. Normally we keep him here for half an hour. We kept him here a little bit longer because there's a lot of other stuff that we haven't been able to get to. I was traveling last week. Politics-wise, there's just so much stuff that I want to talk about. You know, this is something that you said earlier, and we didn't get to it because we were hyper-focused. I still want to get back to healthcare. But, I believe this is more a Trump didn't really, yes, he wanted, he ran on repeal and what a joke it was, but he's not an ideologue. And whether they repeal it now, repeal it later, he doesn't care. If it goes south, he'll go work with the Democrats to get stuff done. And I think there's the frustration that the Republicans are going to have for him, because the Republicans have to tread carefully here. If they jack up and screw up health care, even though the Democrats did it first, it's going to land at their feet just like it did the Democrats when Obamacare popped out. It's going to land at their feet in 2018. And with him not being an ideologue, I think he'll say whatever. Whoever I got to talk to and negotiate with to get stuff done, I'll do it.
No, absolutely. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's a Trumpian. And I've said many times that this is a president who 1 week you're going to pat him on the back and think him's the greatest guy. And the next week you may be kicking in your television set for what he's saying because you completely disagree with him. So from a week to week to week, he wants solutions. He doesn't care if it comes from the right or if it comes from the left. He's got some fiscal conservatism there, but still he just wants solutions. He wants it to work.
So as they move forward here, and we, again, there's got to be a way to get this thing fixed. Whether you talked about a lot of different things. What comes out on the other side of this? Because Ryan's not going to have the votes. The Freedom Caucus wants no part of it. The conservatives, you know, everybody from Jason Chaffetz to Rand Paul to I mean, everybody. And Paul Ryan, I call it Ryan Care. He's almost selling it to himself, I think, at times, that this thing's going to be worth something. And it's not going to be. Do they get this done in a timely manner? Or is this going to be something that drags on through the summer, from the summer all the way in? And are we looking at this thing in August, September, October, and they're still talking about it?
I think at this point, yeah, because there isn't a viable solution that's on the horizon that's basically palatable to anybody. So they can't repeal it because they don't have a replacement. Without a replacement, you've got 10 to 15 million Americans without insurance, which is a chaos walking into the 2000 midterms. So no congressman is going to want that to happen. Nor any senator for one of the 33 or 34 that are running next year are going to want that or are going to vote for that. So that's simply not going to happen. So, yeah, this could drag on until somebody comes up with a bill that is viable and palatable to both sides.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research as we talk about the health care, the American Health Care Act? Is that what they're calling it? I don't even know. Make America Healthy Again Act, whatever it is, like the first one. I like my one better. Make America Healthy Again. Trump Care. Well, Ryan Care. We went with Ryan Care rather than Trump Care because I think it's more Ryan than anything else. Again, he doesn't write any of this stuff. He may get behind it. He may be the influence of it. And he's the head of the. But he's not coming up with this. This isn't his. Again, this isn't to me. He was all about jobs. He was all about security. He was all about building a wall. Yes, health care was there. But this has been the Republicans. You know, they've been like a dog with a bone with this thing and the opportunities there. They don't get this done. There's a lot of people that are up for re-election in 2018. A lot of people that were put there specifically in place to get this thing repealed, and it's sitting right there for them to do it now. Pretty much, there could be no stopping it. If they were smart, they don't get this done. What happens? What do they lose in this?
Well, Trump loses some political points because he promises his people that they would get this done. Now, knowing Trump, he's got plenty of people to blame. I don't think that he would waste 5 minutes throwing Paul Ryan under the bus as far as his inability to do it. He may even call for a new speaker to be brought in because he wants someone that he can work with to get this done. And you can see grassroots efforts through Trump's campaign organizations to recall, to have a new speaker put in place, to somebody that they can actually get that'll pass this, that'll get a palatable bill passed. So that could happen. Like you said, Trump could go across the aisle to it, or the thing could just basically get put off and maybe they pick up tax credits or tax reform or maybe repatriation. We're going to have, remember, don't forget, Neil Gorsuch's hearings begin next week. So we're going to kind of be focusing on those hearings starting next week, along with the investigation into the allegedly wiretapping issues and the Russia problem, so to speak. So this is kind of going to go off the front burner for the media for the next couple of weeks. So they will be able to get a little bit of cover for that. But if they don't come up with something shortly, it's going to be a problem again. It's going to come back up in the next couple of months when there is nothing else on the front burner for coverage.
You know, you talk about, like, so you got Gorsuch, you got all this stuff happening, but people are sitting around saying, you've offered us all these, you know, solutions and we're going to do this, and we a bunch of fake votes that we're never going to get through. You know, nobody was going to, the president was just laughing at Obama. It was never going to happen. The opportunity is here. The opportunity is now. And a lot of people are saying, look, we can't do tax reform unless we get this thing taken care of. We could see them, for all intents and purposes, block themselves along the way and talk about gridlock amongst yourself. How horrible is that going to look for the Republicans if they do that?
It's going to look pretty bad. Remember, they've not been turning out a lot of legislation. A lot of the impact that's come out of the Trump policies have simply been through executive orders.
Yeah, it's all him.
I mean, basically, he's just sitting there writing out, you know, it's the same thing that Obama did, too. Obama wrote a ton of executive orders. Trump's been running executive orders. Hasn't had the best luck getting them not shot down by judges, but that's a whole different problem, maybe for a different day. But there is not a whole ton of legislation. They're not throwing bills across Trump's desk like crazy. So this has not exactly been the most effective Congress as it is. They want to tackle some of the bigger issues. Maybe you start tackling some of the smaller issues and get some of those taken care of. Yeah, health care does have an impact, or the health care bill does have an impact impact on tax reform in general because of the whole slew of taxes that are involved in there. But they could put together a side bill that would maybe cover some of the repatriation issues with the, I don't know, $400 or $500 billion sitting offshore that American companies, generally technology firms, have scrolled overseas due to European tax laws and where they've been able to hide the money running through various countries in Europe. And bringing that money back on shore could certainly help as far as economic expansion and bringing that money on. And I know there have been some preliminary talks, especially when Trump's been talking to CEOs of tech firms about it, because they're the biggest ones. Like Apple's got probably $100, $150 billion to bring back. Google's probably got $50 billion. Cisco's probably got $30 or $40 billion. Google's probably got $60 billion. Keep going down the list. It adds up pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Talking to Jim Kennedy from Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. So all things being said, we're, what, 60-some days into this thing with him. I think he's done a lot of stuff. I think he's trying to do a lot of things. I'm behind him 110%. I want him to succeed. I'd like some of the antics to stop. This whole thing with the travel ban, and it's not a ban. It's a moratorium. It's a pause. It's not a ban. Ban is, that's a silly thing because they are still allowed to come here eventually. It's 90 days to 120 days, depending if you're trying to come here as a refugee, if you've got a visa. It's crazy. This is what we're going to get all along the way. I see so much of what he's going to be doing being fought along the way in courts, which I, as an American, am just so sick and tired of courts being the way that we decide stuff.
Unfortunately, we've got some activist liberal judges out there that are making their effort to make sure that they're going to get this legislation passed. The left has always been much better at forming a cohesive block when it wants to get its voice out there and when it wants to get its way. And they're doing it, you know, they're basically using the judges, they're using the protesters, they're using the media, doing a lot better than Republicans ever do when it comes to getting their message across and getting their agenda moved forward. And it's going to be a problem. The thing is, after a while, you know what? For the liberals, they're going to keep eating into this, but for those on the right, it's going to start getting a little tiresome. And I think you're going to start seeing a lot of them, you know, maybe going after their congresspeople, and maybe they're going to be speaking up at the town hall saying, hey, what can you do about activist judges? What can you do about this? And while the liberals may be winning on the agenda point, they may not be winning necessarily the public policy part from it. And like we said, 435 congressmen are up for vote in about 18 months. And another 33 or 34 senators are going to be on the docket in about 18 months.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research as we discuss all things politics. You and I mean, we traveled. We went to Cleveland together. We went and saw all of this massive rise of this Trump kind of fever. Some of the stuff, whether it be the budget and a lot of this other stuff, there's things inside of there, though, that a lot of people in rural areas, a lot of people in areas that throughout the Rust Belt and stuff that voted for him, some of his policies and some of the budget stuff that he's putting out there, it's going to have a direct effect that's going to be negative in a lot of way to some of those people. How do you think those people are going to deal with the negativity of that? Because they put so much hope into this guy being the guy that brings back so many things that they once thought, hey, these things are never coming back, like jobs and affordable health care, but they're going to feel a sting.
No, absolutely. Some of this stuff will have that effect. But, you know, it was interesting when you played the clip, I think, at the top of the show with the budget director who was talking about, you know, we're more concerned with how the Americans' money is being spent rather than the effects on who it has an effect on. And that's something that kind of rings true. And it's kind of interesting that we have not heard that for a very long time. So for Trump supporters, they're going to like that. That's the kind of stuff that plays right in. That's red meat for Trump supporters. Now, how the money gets allocated through block grants or through whatever methodologies, that money could be moved around. In
Absolutely.
Red states, it'll probably be moved around. It'll not hurt those people. In blue states, it might very well be moved around intentionally to hurt those people just to irritate them, just to let them know, look, you voted for that guy. This is what you got out of Trump. So you better go vote blue next time or you're going to get more of this stuff from Trump. So it'll be interesting to see how far it goes and whether, you know, these people really do get hurt and really decide, you know what, I voted for a pig in a poke here and maybe I should go back to being a Democrat rather than being a Trump or being a Trump Democrat and being a real Democrat.
A Trumpian. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Last question, and then we'll let you go. Jim Kennedy from Kennedy Institute Public Policy Research joining us. The basketball championships are going on currently right now. Phil and I have filled out our bracket. Who do you like and why?
I'm going to say the final game will be Gonzaga versus UCLA.
UCLA, again, it's very interesting. the youngster, the ball kid, is amazing. Ask his dad. His dad will tell you he's the greatest player to ever play with a basketball. He's half the story, and tonight they play the first game. I didn't go Gonzaga. I went Arizona against UCLA, but I respect that. Now, Phil, you didn't. You took Kansas to win it, not Gonzaga.
No, I've got actually Kentucky to win all of it.
Oh, Kentucky. Yeah, Kentucky, because it's great when you're Kentucky, and every year you can roll out 25 All-American McDonald's high school superstars who are only going to be there for an hour and a half. I'm going to give you my prediction for the women's UConn. For the 48th year in a row is how I believe that. Jim, as always, thanks so much for joining us. At Righty Jim is his Twitter feed. You can join him there, at Righty Jim. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, ChadBenson. We got the calls of the week, and we'll wrap it up straight ahead. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Kid tested. Mother approved.
It's not what I wanted. I'm watching Duke play Troy. I don't know where Duke gets these spunky white guys that nobody likes. They do. I mean, Grayson Allen is their newest nobody likes white guy. They should call him the Tripper. He's the kid this year who has tripped several opponents. Literally just put his foot out and tripped them, and he's been suspended a couple times. And he's just that spunky Christian Laettner, you know, Bobby Hurley white guy. But it looks more like practice right now because Duke is up big time, and it just looks like they're running back and forth practicing. I'm just saying. Text the program 323-538-2423. We have our poll up at Chad Benson Show. At the Chad Benson Show. And by the way, Department of Justice has just released, as you tend to do on a Friday, nobody's paying attention, but we do, their report on the wiretapping. And wouldn't you know it, they found no evidence. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Should Trump apologize for wiretapping accusations that have no truth in them? 59% said nope, he shouldn't. 41% says yes, he should. I'm not saying he should apologize to Obama or to anybody. I'm saying he should maybe look at the people and say, okay, I've had enough of this crap. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not here, you know. You want us to spend money, right? Yep, I absolutely want you to spend money, right? You want us to go out there and do the right thing for? Yes, and that includes being the leader and stopping these shenanigans. I would like that very much. Do you hear a phantom phone buzz? 80% of college students say they do. They've become psychologically dependent on their cell phones. And what they're saying is they are feeling a buzz out of nowhere, a phantom buzz. Whether it be a call or a text, they're getting something that's phantom-esque, and they're checking it more and more. They're convinced that they felt the phone vibrate in the pocket or they heard some sort of ringtone. But when they actually check said phone, nothing has happened. Nothing, not a thing. Over 80% of college students were surveyed said that they had experience. However, it's not just happening once a while. It's happening far more than once a day, and it could be a sign that you're psychologically dependent on your cell phone. I see that very much. We have become very psychologically dependent. We found out this week that just behind terror attack was the loss of cell phone. That's crazy. Monopoly's got three new pieces, and we're saying goodbye to some old favorites. Obviously, no, they're not that much of a favorite, or they wouldn't be leaving. 4.3 million people voted, and they determined that there was going to be three new pieces, and three old pieces will be relegated from the game starting in September. Say goodbye to the boot, the wheelbarrow, and the thimble token. Let's welcome, ladies and gentlemen, the penguin, the T-Rex, and the rubber ducky. Congratulations to you guys. Welcome to the team. We look forward to having you here this year. We're very excited in what you can do and the possibility of the greatness. And there is a movie in there somewhere. The Monopoly movie. I can sense it. Lego, are you listening to me? I'm just saying. Hey, you out there, you're like me. Sometimes you're a little forgetful. Mom, your lady, special dates. Well, let me tell you something. Whew, ProFlowers is taking care of that for us. It's launched a brand new Pro Gifter service. This is an easy and fail-proof way to never forget any event. You look awesome, all right? I have missed important dates, and you can't do that. Ladies, don't forgive. Well, they will a little bit, but you're still sleeping on the couch that night. So let Pro Gifter and Pro Flowers help you. This service allows you to schedule 3 bouquet deliveries, same or different, to 3 addresses, and you can do it up to 1 year in advance. All right? You get 3 bouquets with vases and free shipping for $99. It's going to save you time and money, up to $70 savings. Boom! And you're going to look amazing all year. The best flowers, 7-day freshness guarantee, 7-point quality check before being shipped, so you know they're going to look good. Check it out. I know what you're thinking. Of any occasion, you should send flowers for right now. Well, guess what? You can. Go to proflowers.com. Look for the Pro Gifter banner right on the homepage. Pick your flowers, set your delivery dates, and you're done. That's proflowers.com. Look for the Pro Gifter banner. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You text us always, 323-538-2423. Check out ChadBensonShow.com. Why? First of all, we got lots of great audio up there from shows past, great interviews, but you can grab the podcast. It is amazing, and it is free. Take as many as you'd like. That's ChadBensonShow.com. For another great week for my man Anthony, another great week for my man Phil, my name's Chad Benson. You have a safe, amazing weekend. Go Arizona and UCLA. I bid you all adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.